All right, good afternoon, everyone. We are here for the June 7th quarterly paraprofessional money purchase plan meeting. We will start with the approval of the minutes from the March 22nd meeting. All of the members received a copy of these. If there's no questions, then we'll take a vote for the approval of the minutes.
I vote to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Heiklis. Is there a second?
I approve.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, all in favor, we'll go down. Heiklis?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay, and I am a yes, so the minutes are approved. Okay. We have on the agenda a discussion regarding the possible RFP for legal counsel. If you recall, at the last meeting in March, we brought up because Reed and Reed has increased their fee structure. Tom had brought up possibly to just discuss, you know, going out for an RFP. For anyone who's not familiar, you know, that's when, you know, as a fund is similar to the city, we would have to go out. And different firms would bid on this, and we would review their bids and then we would vote. We actually just did this for one of our other pension funds a couple months ago. So it would be a similar process. It does take some time, a few months. So it would be, we would request the city's, I think it's the purchasing department, to generate an RFP. They would then present it to us, show it to us, and we would have to vote on it if we agree and approve with, you know, what the RFP is asking. They would then put it out. It goes out for no less than, I want to say, 2 weeks, but it can stay out longer. So if we wanted it out for a month, we could do a month. During that time, you know, different firms may bid on it and submit their proposals. Once it closes, we would be given all of those firms' proposals to review, and then we would bring them in for, you know, interviews and questioning at a meeting, and then we would vote on, you know, which firm we would like to go with. So that's for the most part the process of how it would work. We don't have to do that, but it was brought up possibly to discuss it. We would have to vote on it if we did want to move in that direction. Did any of the members have questions or feel one way or the other on this?
So I would have a question. So is the original document that was the, was Reed and Reed the one who really started the whole process with us, or was it a different company?
To be honest, Derek might know because I wasn't here at the beginning. I want to say it was them, but it was, I think we went through different actual like attorneys. Like, I don't think it was Attorney Fleming the whole time. I think she's new, relatively new in the last couple of years, because I think who it was originally retired. Derek, is that correct that they were from the beginning?
Yeah. So this, they far preceded us when we started working with the fund, but it was Reed and Reed, and Bank of America was the investment provider when we won the RFP. But it was always Reed and Reed. You're right, Lee. It was a gentleman, I forgot his name, who was an attorney that worked for Reed and Reed. He retired, and then, but yes, yeah, before we were working together, they had Reed and Reed. So I don't know if they established the plan, Heiklis. I don't really know how far back they go, but it's definitely a number of years.
And would that have an impact if we change attorneys? Or firms, would it have an impact on anything?
No, it's just, I mean, it might be different fee structures of how they would, you know, bill. I think, you know, the question came up just because theirs was increasing. So maybe it doesn't hurt to see if other firms would be offering the same. Maybe other firms would be offering higher. Maybe they'd be offering lower. Otherwise, you know, Pamela helped us with, you know, recent amendments to the plan, you know, when we had issues with the census. It just, you know, minor work like that would be obviously handled. I don't think it would cause a big change, you know, going from one to another. I think probably here it would come down to the cost, perhaps. That would be the biggest. We don't work as closely like with our other pension firms. You know, we work a lot closer with, you know, with them, not so much on the paraprofessional side.
And I'm sure that there are other firms that would be able to provide similar service for a lower cost. I mean, it doesn't hurt to be able to get information on what's available to us to be able to reduce our costs, and especially if we can get the same level of service, it's beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, and also considering, again, not sure how long they've been with us, but it's obviously been a while. So, you know, we obviously aren't sure of what other firms and what they'd be offering for a similar plan. I don't think it would hurt. Mike's actually joining right now.
Change his mind. Come back.
So yeah, I mean, again, I think that if you are interested, if we are interested, we should vote on it at this meeting, and then from now until our next meeting, I can work with Mike and the city to formulate an RFP for us, so that at our next meeting in September, we can have it presented, you know, reviewed by us to hopefully approve. And then, you know, therefore the RFP would go out in the fall. So then potentially by December, we would have, you know, either people to interview or at least people to, you know, choose from.
And then one last thing, would Read and Read be able to apply for the RFP as well?
Yeah,
they would have that option to.
Yeah, okay. As far as I'm aware, they would have the option to either apply or to not apply. And as far as I'm aware, their contract is not like in a rush to expire. So if this was something you wanted to put off and not do now, I think that would be okay as well. But I think if it is something you're interested in, you know, because we meet quarterly, we might want to make a vote on it to at least get the ball going if it's something you wanted to do, you know, this year.
When does your contract expire?
It's funny you ask, because I was trying to look for, and Pamela's not at this meeting. I'm going to have to ask her for a copy of it. But as far as I'm aware, it's not like expiring anytime soon. So it's not like it's a rush to do it. But because of like an expiring contract, it would be more so just because we want to see other options out there to see if there's, you know, better pricing.
Excuse me. You could always do the RFP to have a stipulated start date of when the contract expires.
Yep.
To be able to give you enough time to be able to, one, write the RFP, go through the steps that needed to be taken through purchasing, to be able to have interviews with each of the firms that respond, create some kind of a matrix or table that will be able to show the benefits of one over the other beyond just cost, that may be able to give you better insight into making a decision. At least that's what I do on the Board of Ed side with all of my RFPs. But that way you make the best possible decision given not just cost, but also qualifications of the respondents, if there's references that are provided and how are those references, how the RFP is written for what your needs are, would be really important. So if the needs of the, you know, the group are very specific, we want to be as specific as possible with what those needs are to make sure that the respondents are able to come in and provide their best proposal to the group.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for adding all that.
Thanks, Tom. That's helpful.
You're very welcome.
So So based on all of that, I hope I was hoping that Mike would join us as well. I think we could go ahead and do it if other people don't have an objection. We could go ahead based on what Tom has just explained to us. And so we have that option. We have time and we don't have to rush.
Yeah, I think it's, I agree. I think that's a good idea. It's again, as far as I'm aware, should not be anything that would be rushed. So if you want to make that motion, Hyclus, and then from now until the next meeting, I'll work with Mike in the city on getting it started. It can be reviewed at the September meeting. And if we're not satisfied with it, you know, they can edit it to our liking until we're ready to put it out.
My recommendation would be to begin with a list of what you're looking for.
Okay.
What exactly is it that we need to accomplish with this firm?
Okay.
And that would go into the development of the RFP.
Okay. So we do have like base ones that, you know, we use mm-hmm. for the other firms, I know, or the other pension plans or those in the past, but separately, mm-hmm. if the other committee members would like to email me any specifics that they would like to include, you know, within the next couple of weeks, just send me an email and I'll make sure that it gets included when I discuss it with Mike and purchasing.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, Leanna. So I would make the motion that we go ahead and start the process of a RFP to get an attorney for the money market, the paraprofessional money market purchase plan.
Okay, Hyclus has made the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Tom has seconded that motion. All in favor, Hyclus?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
And I am a yes. So that passes. We will get going on that. Let's go to, because I know Hyclus wanted to discuss something. We'll go under new business. Hyclus?
New or old? I think it's a kind of old
business. It's technically old, but it's like an update on, yeah.
Yes. So I'm I was hoping somebody from the Board of Ed, from Linda Hannon's office would be here to, or Mike, to inform us as to the status of the back fee for the administrative fee that was taken out of our statements to be reinstated. I haven't heard anything. The last meeting, they said that they would pay it, but I haven't had any update as to whether it's being paid or when it's going to be paid, if it has been paid or if it's going to be paid. Correction.
Well, I don't have any information on that, but I can add that I can follow up with Linda and her team. I know they've been working really hard on end of the year close out for the fiscal year. So, and then also dealing with the deficit that we're looking at as a district. So I don't know where they are with putting this together. They did commit to making the payments, but I would just have to follow up with them as to exactly where they are in that process.
Thank you for that update, Tom. And I would also request that it remains on the agenda until it's being paid, until it's paid. So that we'll keep tab of it and somebody will always report in as to the status.
And also, Hyclus, I spoke to the Joshua Brown at NWPS about the fees. Mm-hmm. And he assured us that for his company, he has it in his plan that he bills us, the sponsor, for all fees. So there will not be an issue with additional fees being charged to participants. For future fees, he's going to send us quarterly invoices. But as far as refunding the fees, he's asked to figure out how it's going to work, but it's going to be treated as a payroll correction. And mm-hmm. He's not sure how it's going to present on the participant statements, but he's going to look into that. He said for participants that have already taken full distributions, they'll need to issue residual distribution checks. So that's as far as I have with him, what he said.
I do know, Hyclus, I believe it was Michael's office created a spreadsheet of everyone's name and how much each person is owed from 2016, what was agreed upon until 2022, 2023, whenever, you know, this went through. So I know that Excel file is in the works. I do believe the Board of Ed is in possession of that. So the question is just when, which is open-ended right now.
You are correct. We do have the document. I'll follow up with Linda and her team to find out where she is in the process. I do know that there's some payroll concerns that they have that have not yet been ironed out. Like was spoken about earlier with the, whether it's a payroll, the payroll process to get it added into the paycheck and what that will look like and everything. I don't believe that that has been ironed out with the city.
Yeah, it's not going to be
Board of Ed. So
I'm sorry, Tom, it's not going to be a refund check issued to the employees at all through payroll or through our system. It's going to be one lump sum check from the Board of Ed to NWPS to deposit, credit the employees' accounts with these fees.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Because their accounts, makes sense. Yep. Yeah, the fees were charged from their accounts, not from their paychecks.
Okay.
Originally.
That makes more sense.
Okay.
Okay. Like I said, I'll follow up with who I need to follow up with on the Board of Ed side to see where we are, and I'll send an email to the group when I have that information.
Great.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. I know their money's important to them, so I want to make sure they get it.
Yes. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Hyclis or anyone else, was there anything else to be discussed under new business?
Oh, I think, Jessica, correct me if I'm wrong, there were some errors on the form that was to be completed for people who want to make their withdrawal. Am I correct to say that some members have told me that they have corrected it? Is it correct that it's fixed, or is it still?
The one that's online, I'm not sure. I still have the paper ones that people are bringing me and I'm signing and submitting online. But there's, I think maybe the confusion was because the forms have on them date of separation. So they don't have anywhere noting like this is just a one-time withdrawal of, you know, partial withdrawal. The person's still active. You know how they have that option now?
Mm-hmm.
So I have to talk to the guy at NWPS. I thought it was straightened out, but I will make sure.
Excuse me, Jess?
Yes.
Did you get my paperwork?
Did you drop it off today, Lisa?
Yeah, to me.
Yeah. I wasn't in office today. I'm working from home, but I'm sure it's there. You gave it to Mizan?
Yeah, it's the right form. They fixed it.
Yep, then I'm sure it's good. Oh, they gave you a new form?
Yeah, I got it on Friday. Yeah, so they're all updated. It's all good.
Online?
Yeah.
All oh, good. Great. Then that's the answer. Awesome. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
They've been pretty efficient. That's good.
Okay. Lisa, I'll be in the office tomorrow, actually. So I will get it and sign it and submit it tomorrow or Friday. Okay.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
So just to clarify then, Jessica, members are to bring it to you for you to sign off and submit it?
I think they can just do it online.
They should be doing everything online. They should be filling all the paperwork out online, and then NWPS should be sending me a list and saying, hey, are these people approved? And I say yes or no. But that hasn't happened. NWPS has been telling them to still bring them to me for me to sign them and submit them. So I'm doing that, but I'm going to, well, when I, like I said, I have to talk to the guy, Josh. I was going to talk to him about that because initially the way it was supposed to work was everything was online except for my signature, and he would just get that separately. So
now he wants to reverse it for you to verify and then send it to them.
Yeah, he wants me to sign it. I don't know if it's him or if it's just the people that are taking the phone calls or emails and they don't understand the process yet, because that's what I was told how it was supposed to work. But there's some kind of confusion somewhere. But the ones that I'm getting either by email from the employees or if they're dropping them off, I am signing them and I'm uploading them directly to NWPS.
Okay. I wanted to take that burden off you, but I guess.
Yeah, me too. But
yes, that,
no,
should be,
definitely,
that should be ironed out, because even Bencore, there's a way people submit it online and then I just get a signature, you know, I'm required to review and sign. So I'm sure they just got to iron that out for you.
Right. Right. And I did want to call Joshua about this, but I said, let me wait until we have this meeting, see if there's anything else I need to discuss with him first. So
okay.
I will definitely talk to him about it.
All right.
All right. So I think at this time we can pass it over to Derek with Raymond James.
All right. Hello. It's probably easier if I just share my screen. Do I have that ability, Lee?
You should. If not, I can do it for you. Sure.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I can do it. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. So hello, everybody, again. So this is for the report we ran performance through June 2nd. So obviously the fiscal year is June 30, so we don't have a complete fiscal year yet. But you can see in the upper left-hand corner the performance of the board. So, you know, this year has obviously been better than last year. Excuse me. We're still trying to shake free from some of the, you know, negative performance from last year. Last year was a very difficult year. You can see year to date, the fund is up 3.7%. So that was through basically June 1st or June 2nd. Rolling 12 months, so May to May, you can see still slightly negative. And you can see down here, you know, the S&P 500, which is the stock market, was up 3%, and the bond market was down 2%. So if you have any diversity in your portfolio, which we do, obviously, there's going to be a mixture of that. So we're still trying to hopefully get a little bit more of a run here through the end of June. To get a, you know, a positive fiscal year return for this year. You see inception to date, excuse me, just under 5% compounded annually. Upper right-hand corner here just shows the current allocation. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But one of the things I wanted to point out, I'll talk about what's going on in the markets and what we see going on in the world in a moment. But just if you could remember, you see we're only about 48% fixed income, 31% equity, and then about 20%, you know, pure cash or cash alternatives. And of the equities, you know, that 31% sliver, if you break it down, you can see the majority of it is large cap. About 60% of the equity exposure is large cap. So those are the bigger household names, the safer names that we know of. So even within that 30% equity exposure, we're with the, you know, the large quality names. And the portfolio has what we call a growth tilt. So that's more favored towards technology and, you know, IT and things like that, consumer discretionary versus value stocks. And I'll tell you why in a little bit, why we think that's important. Moving on, this just shows value over time. The blue line is, I don't know why it's doing that. Sorry, I'm making people dizzy here. The blue line is the capital that's been put in by the members and the board, and the green line is the growth. So, you know, obviously we're down off of our high from last year, from 2021. I'm sorry, for a few years ago, but we're still positive and we're trending backward, back up where we should be. And I'll explain a little bit more about that momentarily. This chart is important because one of the things we like to concentrate on is risk and return. So, you know, returns are fairly nebulous when you don't take into consideration risk. And we know the profile of this fund is to be a lower risk fund. We want to make sure that the risk that we are taking, we're getting paid for. So one of the measures of risk, and you can see this thing says annualized risk, that's actually standard deviation. And what standard deviation is the volatility of the portfolio. You know, how much swings are there in the portfolio? And then obviously annualized return. And this is over a 3-year period. So this is a 3-year compounded rate of return and the annualized risk. And we benchmark that against various indices, the stock market, the bond market, international equity markets, and then just like treasuries and things of that nature. And so what I want to show you here, it's remarkable because a 5% return, just under 5% compounded annually, annual risk is only 7.43%. If you look at the bond market, so this is bonds, the sleep well, quote unquote, sleep well portion of the portfolio. For that same time frame, bonds were down 3.19 with an annualized volatility of 6%. So your overall portfolio is more than double the return of the bond market with just a little bit more risk than the bond market. You know, obviously it's not as high as a stock market because it's not 100% stock portfolio. We only have about 30% exposure to stocks, but you can see that the risk return profile is pretty darn solid. And that's really quite nice to see. It's almost that if you look at the MSCI EAFE, which is basically European or developed world, Japan, Europe, and some other countries, that was like a 9.7% return with an 18% standard deviation or annualized risk, if you will. So that's very important because I think, you know, we could lose sight of that at times when the markets are either very, very hot and running and very strong. And also when the markets are choppy and pretty poor, like they have been. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, about the markets and where we see them going. But the market has been, and I say market, I mean markets, because it's not just the stock market. It's the bond market. It's the commodities market. It's been very volatile and it's been very difficult to make money in these markets. But this fund has done a pretty good job over time. So I'm just going to move on a little bit and just try to get through these things. And this just kind of shows you the split. And, you know, we have about a little bit more than 50% of the portfolio is in, you know, a diversified growth and income model. You know, so basically the invested portion of the portfolio, we call it, you know, cash and then invested portion. You can see about 4.1 million is invested. And you can see the return profiles over the, you know, year to date and last 12 months and last 3 years. And then since inception, the actual investments have brought back a little over 8%. So the investment portion of the portfolio is doing its job. And even still, when things have gotten volatile, it's still not down much over the last, you know, 1 year, rolling 1 year. And then the you know, cash, if you will, or the, you know, near cash, the safe part of the portfolio, about 3.2 million. You can see it's not really any negative returns because it shouldn't be negative, but it's not really adding much value to the top side of that portfolio. So the mix, you know, the thankfully we do have an investment mix that is making money over time for the fund and compounded out an annual rate of return. That's pretty nice. And then lastly, this just shows cumulative performance since we started working together. And you can see that's about 16.7% cumulative performance, which is about a little shy of $1 million of growth on the portfolio. So that's really nice. You know, the fund is just about $1 million richer now than it was when we first started working together. So that's depicted graphically and numerically here in this chart. So, you know, with that being said, I certainly can open up to any questions. If not, I can roll right into market commentary and kind of talk about, you know, where we see opportunity and what we see happening. So I'll open up to the floor for questions. If not, I'll move on.
I have one quick question. So does that overview you give, does it mean that this year we will not see any profit? We will more see a loss?
So, well, you know, obviously June is not over, but as of right now, correct, the rolling 1 year period right here. So May 31st to May 31st, it's down 0.3%. So, you know, 1/3 of 1%. And you could see why, you know, there's really no markets that have done well over that same time frame. And that's depicted. I actually depict it somewhere else on another chart, but yeah, so as of right now, Heiklis, the fund is down 0.35% or 1/3 of 1% for the year through May. So June has been a pretty good month so far. It's not, you know, it's been a little, you know, we've had some down days, but a lot of up days. So if we get a little bit of a tailwind through the end of June, you know, we will hope to see some positive performance for the fiscal year. And you have to remember, this is carried through, you know, from half of the year last year, which was a very bad year. This year has been off to, like I said, a good start. We're up 3.7 for the year. So if the year continues like this through the end of June, we hopefully will see a little bit of a bounce. Any other questions? Or did I answer your question, Heiklis?
Yes, you did. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, let me talk a little bit about what's going on in the markets and just give you a little bit of an overview. So this is what I was talking about earlier. I mean, you know, last 12 months, this is, you know, this, you could see it right here. I mean, S&P, the Dow Jones, Russell 2000, which is like a, you know, mid cap, world stocks, emerging market stocks, real estate, oil and gas, everything's, you know, negative to flat. So there really are no markets that have been solid over the last 12 months, because you have to remember that's incorporating the last half of last year. So last calendar year, last half of last calendar year was pretty dreadful in all markets. So you can see here year to date, and I'll talk a little bit about what's going on. There's a very high level of bifurcation in the market. And what do I mean by that is you can see the majority of the, you know, the S&P 500 is up 9.5%. The vast majority of that performance is from a handful of tech names. And you can see right here, you know, vast majority of the sectors are negative. And, you know, so the S&P 500 is a market capitalization weighted index. So what that means is the bigger the company, the more heavily weighted they are in that S&P 500 index. So names like Google and Amazon and Microsoft represent much larger portions of the index. But if you looked at just equal weighting all 500 companies, plus or minus equal weight to the index, that same benchmark is actually down 0.6%. So, I mean, you could see the disparaging returns of those various indices. So when we see markets like this, we take a high level of pause, because the breadth of this 9.5% return is very, very narrow. And that's, you know, something that's not really based on quality equity market return. So, you know, we have a lot of headline risk. You know, obviously the debt ceiling compromise that happened this weekend. But then there's some conjecture there about some revisions, but ultimately that's ironing out. But the Fed is basically what we're watching. And every time we meet, as of the last, I'd say, three meetings, all I talk about is the Federal Reserve, because it's the most data dependent market we've had in as far as I ever remember. And what do I mean by that is whatever the Fed does, there's an old saying, don't fight the Fed. And it's never been more true than it has over the last 18 months. And, you know, whatever the Fed does, you know, we have to kind of follow. So back in March, there was about a 50% chance that the Fed was going to go into a rate cutting cycle rather than a rate hike cycle. That's out the window. We had some higher inflationary pressure and job opening headlines that came out. And so now we're going to have a, you know, 25 basis point rate hike, which we did have, and pretty much 100% chance that there's going to be a rate hike in July as well, 25 basis points. So this is going to keep the Fed pretty hawkish. And if you all remember, what I say is when rates go up, bond values go down, and it also acts as a headwind for equity markets. So as for right now, we anticipate a little bit more of a headwind than tailwind. This just talks about exactly what I just said about the Fed rates, the FOMC meeting in July, and basically it's like a 96% probability that we're going to get another rate hike of 25 basis points. And what I was talking about earlier about the market being range bound, this depicts it in the upper left-hand corner. This is just the S&P 500, but you can see that, you know, though volatile, you know, up and down, it's basically a sideways moving market. So we're in this sideways channel of, you know, basically we call this like a bottoming cycle, a sideways bottoming cycle. But you can see we're at a higher range than the lower range at this point. There's really no tailwind potential that we can see on the horizon for making this equity market break through. And the breadth of the market is very narrow. And you can see it right here depicted, that big tech is the vast majority of what's going on for the S&P. So the red line is obviously the S&P 500, which I just talked about. It's up about 9.5%. The remaining companies, if you X out big tech, you can see it's flat to negative in the S&P 500, and you add big tech in, and that's where the 9.5% comes from. So again, it's not a healthy equity market. It's not a good opportunity here to add any money to equities. So we have to be defensive. And you can even see the bifurcation between small caps versus large caps. You know, small caps have gotten beaten up quite a bit. So if you remember earlier, when I said our portfolio of that 30% equity exposure, we're mostly large cap. We have a little bit of a growth tilt, which has, you know, certainly helped us with, you know, the big tech and the growthier names. So there's a growth tilt and mostly large cap. So, you know, we're being very specific about where we add our equity exposure. But for right now, there's, you know, it's kind of just let's hold on and batten down the hatches for a bit. There's an old adage, sell in May and go away. That might very well be the case this year, this summer, but we'll see. The good news is, though, you know, some of the there's a lot of different indicators that we look at to say, well, where is, you know, what's going to motivate the Fed to pause or to, you know, either not necessarily go into a rate cutting cycle, but just stop with the rate hikes. And this is an old image of copper. For whatever reason, you know, copper being an inflationary derivative, you know, it's a commodity that has a pretty high correlation of 10-year inflationary pressures. And you can see the red copper line, the price of copper has come down. So that could be a potential leading indicator that inflationary pressures should be somewhat subsiding, which is good because the Fed is looking at, you know, obviously fighting inflation and trying to cool off the economy. So again, we're just going to take a wait and see attitude, be smart about what we're doing, stay conservative like we always are, but also just wait for an opportunity to, you know, there will be a day soon, hopefully, maybe in the next quarter or the quarter after next, where we'll say, okay, guess what? The Fed's going into a rate cutting cycle. They might be adding liquidity to the markets. We might recommend, hey, let's take some more measured risk with our equities. Let's add a little bit more money to equity markets. But that day is not today. And we don't see that happening soon. And I say soon in the next month, few months. So next quarter or two, we will see that again. But it's just not now. So We're hanging in there and doing the best we can and trying to, you know, again, we're not, unfortunately, we can't make money when there's no money to be made. And that's basically the moral of the story right now. There's really no money to be made pretty much anywhere. So Heiklis, to your earlier question, you know, fiscal year, I mean, we might squeak out a slight positive return, hopeful that happens. But if we're flat to, you know, slightly positive, it's more realistic than not. So that's in summation what we have to say. If there's any other questions, comments, concerns, happy to address them. Okay. If not, then thank you for your time and your support, and we'll see you guys soon.
Thank you, Derek. And I'm a little deflated about it, but thank you.
Yeah, I know. We will be hopefully you know, again soon we'll be making some money. So when there's money to be made, we will make it. So that's our job.
But thank you very much.
That's it.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you everyone for attending today's meeting. That wraps up the entire agenda. I do wish everyone a beautiful summer. Hopefully this smoke goes away so people can enjoy the outdoors once school ends for you all. And our next quarterly meeting will be in September. So probably towards the end of August, I'll send an email out, you know, confirming availability for September. But otherwise we can take a vote.
I'm like a motion that we adjourn.
Thank you, Heiklis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Tom. All right, the meeting will adjourn. Everyone take care and have a great summer.
Have a nice summer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.